We do other work together.
That was a big job.
I mean, it was nice of her to. She didn't really need to do it. Yeah. As a volunteer. Yeah.
She had arranged to get us. Bruce Knight, who's the city planning director in Champaign, to do the one for the continuing care. Because she and I participated in that together. I just asked her if she would be interested. Actually, she is interested because, I don't know if it's the way she didn't say so, but in addition to her responsibilities now with the city as a neighborhood services person, she's a police officer.
Since Bill is here and Mike is not here and Astrid won't be here, I was asked to volunteer, and I volunteer to call the meeting to order at 6 p.m. And the first order of business actually is to select a chair for this meeting, but it's not on the agenda, so we need to actually officially select a chair for this meeting.
Are nominations now open?
Nominations are now open.
I nominate you. Second.
Right. Carol Ammons, that is.
Second.
Okay. Second and third. Any objections to the nominations at this point?
Can we discuss it for about 3 hours?
Oh, my God.
No, because I'm wanting to let's get it done, people.
Very nice.
If you chair, we're going to be done. Let's go.
So we're going to move forward to accept the nomination to chair this meeting. Let's go to public participation, and then we need to make an addition to the agenda, actually. Let's make the addition to the agenda and then go to public participation, if that's okay.
Sure.
James.
I'm just going to make the addition to the agenda.
Go ahead, yes.
Add the cookies to the agenda. I want to add this public meeting thing. That we didn't come from. But we're going to keep it short this time.
Okay. So we're just going to
add.
We've
already discussed it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Are we going to just add it as item 4A, discussion of the public meeting support from the task force and CUCPJ sponsored meeting?
Right.
Okay.
And I know from the emails, we had talked about March 28th. Is that the final date then for that?
Well, why don't we discuss
it as an item? Sure.
I'm sorry. I'm an official.
See, now I'm contesting you, but now you're right.
That's why we voted for you.
All right. So
we're on that iron hand.
We're going to move to public participation. Is there any public participation for today? Any public? Yes. Patsy Petrie here for public participation.
Yes. Just two items. I had mentioned to you all the book, The Third Lie, last time, and I copied a few pages out of that. I didn't have one copy, so just to pass it around. But it isn't that I don't think you all are terribly bright and know how to do these things, but I thought in these pages that I copied, he very succinctly pointed out things to note in relationship to whether programs work well or like that. And the second is, in case you read the Sunday newspaper a week ago yesterday, the article on the comic book that Kevin Hamilton...
Oh, yeah.
I knew you'd like it.
Yeah, I was going to go try and find one.
Well,
so you've got some.
I brought some. In case you all don't know about this, Kevin Hamilton is a colleague and a friend of mine. He's in art and design at the university. And what he did was get, well, it wasn't video in those days, but, you know, movie tape of a discussion that was held in the Illini Union day in 1968, and that was a very tumultuous time here on the campus. I wasn't here until 71, but I'd heard about this time. And it was done by students in a only one semester program that was actually the precursor to then 60 Minutes. Didn't last here, but it went on to be 60 Minutes. And what Kevin and his students did was take the pictures from that and turn it into a comic book. And it's very appropriate for what you all are working on in the jail issue and kind of sad to look at it. John Lee Johnson has highlighted very much in this. And we haven't made a lot of progress since 1968. And I noticed that tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Kevin is going to be on WILL Focus.
I have 15.
Oh, you have. Well, you don't
have. I'll pass
them along.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other public participation?
Thank you.
Yeah. CNN, I recognize Chair Astrid Berkson just joined us. We went through a nomination.
Thank
if
you
want to.
No, go ahead. Just go ahead.
Okay. Very good. So we will move on to our agenda items. Approval of the minutes from February 11, 2013. Any additions, corrections to the minutes at all? Do people need a couple more minutes to be brief them at all? Then we'll entertain an approval of those. A motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
It's moved and second. Moved by Scott and seconded by James. And so we'll approve those minutes. So at item four, we got specific proposal discussion. I'm not sure. I wasn't here, of course, at the previous meeting, but I'm not sure how we want or what specific items should be discussed first. We did add an item to the agenda, which is the public meeting we'll discuss second. But if there's specific proposals we want to discuss right now, we can start with those.
Is that what you were thinking, the structure, the email on the structure?
Well, or Soardini's proposal.
Okay.
Which everybody presumably has.
There's also the Safe Return Home proposal, which was submitted to the last meeting.
Yeah. I have a short elaboration of the one that I had suggested.
So why don't we start with the Soardini proposal, then the Safe Returns Home, and then come back to this addition that you are passing.
Okay, so may I just a point? I have to leave at 7:15 tonight, sharp, because of a child care issue. So.
Okay. So who wants to lead this Soardini proposal? To discuss that one. If there's questions, comments.
He's not here, so I don't know if someone's prepared to do that, or it would be better to wait till he's here. I
know. Well, then why don't we move to you, James, and come back?
Is that
fine?
Right, but I mean, it doesn't seem like there's anybody that can. So. I don't know if people have read this, but I mean, it circulated at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a proposal for what we're calling Safe Return Home, a first stop, one stop spot for people who are being paroled from Department of Corrections. There's very minimal sort of programs for people available in this regard at the moment. There's as of June 30th last year, there was 442 people on parole in Champaign County. And the recidivism rate for Illinois, at least, is about 51.7%. I haven't been able to get final figures for Champaign County. But the idea being that this would be a major contributor to decreasing recidivism, release pressure on the demand for jail beds in the county jail, and also would be a program that would reduce the racial discrepancies in terms of African American population, under the assumption that a vast number of the people who are on parole would also be African American. So there's sort of a 3-year kind of window here in terms of a three-year kind of time frame that's outlined here for the proposal. I mean, basically, the initial The key funding thing really is to have someone who's a director and an administrative assistant to deal with this. And then I think the key sort of kickstart to the program is actually a process of seconding a number of formerly incarcerated people to do some kind of research, to be trained to do some kind of research in community organizing in the county, and to make touch base with as many people who are on parole as possible in order to do kind of a needs assessment, and then from there develop, you know, programs as required. But then some of them would be kind of, some of them would be kind of obvious just in terms of linking people to, you know, to resources in terms of housing, in terms of substance abuse, in terms of educational opportunities, and just providing people with a bit of guidance in terms of assisting them with making some kind of a life plan and following through on that. So, I mean, I think that's the general plan. So maybe we can put it out for discussion.
Just a little bit of history. The sheriff used to have 3.5 FTEs of mental health counselors. And the half was a person whose total job was to take people leaving prison and link them back up with the community and with the mental health facilities. And what happened is, when the mental health facilities got back, the people from whom they licensed the service said, forget that half. You people have nothing to hook them up to there. So you're just wasting your money. You're paying for a service you don't get. So we need, yes, to have somebody to link them back up, but we have to have something to link them back up to.
I guess my question on the proposals is not necessarily that this body is determining whether this proposal is going to move or not, but whether this proposal will go into the report to the county board. Is that my understanding of the purpose of that? The purpose of that is to provide some alternatives for the county board to make a determination as to what program or services they would like to fund to address some of the issues of beds and space and things like that.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, that's correct. I mean, that's the purpose of the proposal. I mean, we're putting proposals there to address specific recommendations in the, you know, that emerged from the draft, and this is one that's dealing with the issue of reducing recidivism, and at the same time is dealing with the issue of racial disparity. Maybe to just respond to what, I mean, Astrid has said. I mean, certainly these are, certainly the problem of the lack of mental health facilities is a problem, which hopefully, you know, other people are also going to be addressed. But this isn't just for mental health. This is for a whole kind of, this is for a holistic kind of approach for people who are coming out of prison, who are kind of thrown to the wolves at the moment. I mean, there's very little by way of support, and really the first few months, even the first few days for people who are coming out of prison are very key in terms of getting them in the right direction and being able to hook them up, in particular with people who have turned themselves around and who have you know, expertise and experience in dealing with the very problems that people face. And at the moment, we don't have that kind of a program for people, you know, in this county. If someone's been gone for 10 years and they want to come out, they come out, how are they supposed to know, for example, what employers will hire people that have felony convictions? You know, how are they supposed to know how to negotiate things around public housing? There's a whole range of those kinds of that kind of technical support that people need, and just the kind of emotional support. And I mean, if we take this 442 and put half of those people as recidivists, that's a full complement of the county jail.
Yeah.
That's 220 people. That fills the county jail of people coming back from prison. And you know, it just seems that an obvious thing to be putting resources into that can have, you know, some immediate returns.
James, I have a couple quick questions. One is, so this proposal is not directed at people who would be released from the county jail. It's people who would be released from incarceration who would be coming to live in our county.
That's right.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. So it could be people from the jail, but it could be people from the state or the federal system.
This is specifically dealing with people that are on parole from the state. So obviously, in terms of getting something like this operational, there has to be some negotiations and discussions with the Department of Corrections. And there has to be and particularly the, you know, the parole division of that, in terms of getting some kind of a link between, you know, that official body and people in the community who are doing this. We already have, I mean, the prison ministry is beginning to do some of this work. Unfortunately, Marlon Mitchell, who's the director of that, is a partner in terms of putting this together, wasn't able to come tonight. But that's a couple partner organizations that we're trying to broaden out. We're talking to some people in Champaign and people in the Mental Health Board and so forth that are working on similar kinds of things to try to have a broader kind of partnership that would be the bodies that would kind of constitute this.
Well, James, I do like that. If we're thinking about it, I like that it's narrowly tailored in the sense that, and it's not, you know, it's not trying to solve everything, but it's talking about just parolees. And there's two reasons. One, I think if you're talking about being disoriented, you know, coming out of for a long period of time, and all those things you talked about, you know, think a lot of things will change during that period. That would not be, of course, as true for someone coming out of the jail who there's very few circumstances they'd be in even longer than a year. The other issue is, if you're on parole and you reoffend, you're going right back to DOC. You're not going to get another community-based sentence like probation. And so I think if you're getting more bang for your buck, that's where, you know, those are the recidivists we're trying to avoid, because they're not going to be getting time served and released again, as opposed to a lot of people from the jail. So I do think that's a population that we should be looking toward, at least at the beginning of the program, if we're going to direct it toward one group. I think that's a good one to do.
I mean, but the other thing is that when they do violate, they go to the county jail. I mean, initially.
Just for a short time.
Yeah, but not such okay. a short time. I mean, it can be several weeks before they actually...
Before they go back to
the county. Yeah,
that's true.
So
that
it is an inflow of bodies into the county jails of non-significant numbers.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why it makes some sense to do this at the, you know, in terms of a remedy for the...
And I will tell you, as a practical matter, so say they reoffend here, and they may be shipped back to wherever the DOC facility is, but we have to keep bringing them back here for our hearings,
right.
and often we're paying for the transport back and forth. DOC brings them, but we pay for part of it.
Yeah.
So it's a very expensive, I'm going through that one of my cases right now, it's a very expensive proposition every time you have to bring them back. So that certainly is something that is good to consider.
Just several things, and we aren't going to talk now, apparently, about the structure for completing this project, but I know this is a concrete example of something that might fall in. Right now we have recommendation number 7, and before that recommendation there is the discussion of mental health program, so that'll address that before we get. So I also like Scott's point that we can't do everything. This is an example with a particularly important population. I do think specifics showing how it impacts on the jail is important. Because I think a lot of people are going to say, you know what, that's on the state's dime. I think sometimes in the cultural communities it's like, we'll send them off to prison because it is on the state's dime. So pulling it to local money. I also think some outreach now to the state is people are going to raise this question, is there any money to defray at least some of this, even if we pilot it? And I've actually started in our part of the report reaching out to the state officials. I'm getting some helpful feedback. So I really think that can be promising, because I think our initial impulse, or some people's initial impulse, would be, well, that's the state's problem. And we know it's not, because they still come back here and the like. But the case for why this is a local concern, but the efforts that have been made, the potential for getting some state funds needs to be explored.
Maybe just to, I mean, I think there's also the question of Urbana and Champaign City as well in terms of getting some support for this. But in terms of the state, I mean, like there is a, the name of the program escapes me, but I'll grab it in a second. But there is a fund from the state that funds programs like this. For example, they're a major funder of I don't know if people are familiar with the Operation Ceasefire in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
which is, I mean, they put a lot of money into that, and they fund a couple of other initiatives that are dealing with people at a local level with people that are being paroled. So, I mean, I think there's a space for us, perhaps, and as I recall, that's a program that has like a funding cycle, and you can apply for funding from that. So that's another source of to follow up on what you're saying, which we can add in here.
A few other final points, and I confess, I thought we could talk about this later, so I haven't looked at all the details, but if it's not there, I mean, the basic point that reentry planning begins at the right at the time of sentencing, and a lot of people start reentry 6 weeks to 3 months before release, and that's not when it should happen. Very important. And secondly, a failure of the system is reentry plans are often imposed on people. This is what we think you should do, as opposed to sitting down. Individuals, when asked the right questions, can identify who, when they hang around with, they're more likely to make bad choices. So identifying what puts them at most at risk, and also the positive things that will make it more likely they'll make good choices. So the bigger point, because we don't want to put too many details in this, is to make sure that individual involvement in the development of the reentry plan is critical to the success of those plans.
Client-directed, I think, is the word. Client-directed.
I think Naomi is also working on a bill. She mentioned this past weekend to me around working with Department of Corrections prior to the person's being released to try to get some of those services in line. So I think that's something that Naomi is definitely interested in doing, is the pre part before the release she's working on right now.
There's a perhaps general recommendation that we might think about making, that because it does arise every time we talk about something specific, we get to the place where, well, where's the money going to come from? So there are several possible, I think there are possibilities for use of local funds, but it may be that one of the things we want to recommend is that there be established an ongoing, not sure what to call it, office, person, group, of people who are looking for local, state, and federal funding for various programs that would be helpful in managing our own local criminal justice system. These things come up all the time, and typically, you know, agencies are looking for ways they can get support. I have no idea whether or not the county currently, or the criminal justice system within the county currently, is views this as an active activity. And so, anyway, what I'm getting to is that, well, I guess it's obvious what I'm getting to, is that I think that we might want to recommend that the county establish such an office with intentionality.
Can it be a criminal justice planner who also provides support services to the coordinating council? But one of those services is providing funding.
Well, I think we can. I have no particular interest in calling it anything in particular. Yeah. But I do think we should recommend. I don't think we have yet framed this, but I think what we should recommend is that there be an intentional, ongoing attempt to make use of the many different opportunities for funding that become available. So if it's tied in that way you just said, that's fine. If it's a separate thing, I'm not sure. And I'm not quite sure what would work within the structure of the county's government and its operations. And in a sense, it's fine with me if the county, I would like to see the county do it and make it, and let the county decide, you know, where does it fit within their current structure? How do they want to implement it? It's the intention that I'm interested in, not particularly
perhaps
the office.
Deb could help us on this.
I have a feeling she could. I was going to say, if it got to the point.
Pretending she doesn't hear it.
James wanted to.
Oh, well, maybe just to respond to, I mean, this is a peer mentoring kind of program. So, I mean, and part of the key to it is that the peer mentors would work with people to negotiate some kind of some kind of a life plan that they would then be accountable to the program for. So that, I mean, that kind of deals with the issue of client directedness. And that's pretty much it. The name of the program is actually Adult Redeploy Illinois, which is the one that funds the ceasefire project. I also thought maybe Darlene might have some things to add on this funding.
Yeah, I was
going to
mention. Deb can speak to the more other county departments than I'm familiar with, but the Regional Planning Commission is one of the grant writing entities of the county. It's kind of the entrepreneurial arm of the county in the sense that if there are regional planning issues which have to do with a variety of subjects, or social services, or transportation, those kinds of things, the Regional Planning Commission has people that write grants for those things to, on behalf of the county, to bring in money to bring projects to the county. I think that each of the other departments, like the jail and the sheriff's office or the highway department, they can write grants if they want to, but I don't think they have people that spend a lot of time doing that. And is that correct?
Yeah, that would
be correct. So primarily if the county sees a need or finds an issue like this for seeking money or doing grant writing, if it's attached to something that regional planning could potentially look for or write, we do that. And so I'm not saying that we would just, we don't designate full-time people that just write grants because people want us to look for money, but if needs are identified and it appears that the county should provide that service, then that would be one appropriate resource to do that. And I do that for social services for the county. Uh-huh.
So, yes, what I would recommend, and what I sort of recommendation that comes from what you're saying to me, would be that the county board adopt as a policy that it would, if, let's say it seems appropriate to, for the Regional Plan Commission to do this. I think it needs to be done in an ongoing fashion. So it might be that then you don't have enough personnel to dedicate to it, but that would certainly be a mechanism that the county could think about how directing as a matter of policy. Right? I mean, I'm guessing, it seems to me that the county board tries to set policies for how the county will operate and then directs or engages the various departments in implementing those policies. So I think it would be an appropriate recommendation for us to make to ask the county board to adopt such a policy.
And a person could be hired, I mean, by the county or by regional planner, whoever, to actually write.
Their
job would be
thinking.
To write grants, yeah. And do what they do.
And, typically a person, if someone's good at it and they have some experience with it, they typically bring in way more money than the cost to hire them. So, and we know that there are these things around all the time, but it takes somebody that's kind of consistently attentive to them to do it in an intentional way. So I was merely adding that to, I wasn't saying speaking directly to, but you were giving an example, I think, of a possible program and maybe even a source of funding for that program.
Well, yeah, we are actually meeting with Darlene this week to discuss some of that, and then she has also pointed to us to like a federal program that deals with some of this issue. Mm-hmm. So I think all of these are opportunities that we need to include, in the proposal. So we're seeing that we want some county funding to go to support this, but we also see that there's a possibility of drawing in other parties that either provide funding for this or who are directly impacted by the whole constituency that it's addressing, whether it's the Department of Corrections, the City of Urbana, the City of Champaign. These are all places that have some interest in having something like this work. So
yeah, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that as a recommendation to the county board in the task force recommendation as alternatives to our current jail situation, that might be one aspect of what comes out of here. Of course, that program can move forward simultaneously. It doesn't mean that it can't move forward, right? It would just be a part of the recommendation that the task force put forward to the county board. So we don't necessarily have to figure out every aspect of implementation to include it as a recommendation from the task force to the county board.
And if you stay close to Julian's initial recommendation without trying to figure out where or how this position would be placed, I believe back in the early 70s there actually was a position for the criminal justice system that looked for funding. So that's what you really want to recommend.
That's right.
So don't feel like you have to place it or say where it would be, but that what I'm hearing is you want someone who all of the stakeholders in the criminal justice system will work with and be willing to work for in terms of identifying funding.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what my intention is.
Yeah, I put it down the button.
So.
Well, I mean, I'm very enthusiastic about you know broadening our search for funding as wide as possible. At the same time, I mean, I think we also have to try to tap into some sources that exist, for some more immediate things, because we can also, I mean, I'm speaking, specifically about the public safety sales tax and all of this. How do we get that as a bridging sort of source of support for this? Because it's very easy to come up with a long list of potential funders for a program that doesn't exist and has no money, which will then not go anywhere because it doesn't have the money that it needs to get going. And I think in terms of the county, if we're talking about getting federal money and state money, and I mean, these are going to be processes that are going to involve extensive kinds of negotiation, and there needs to be some kind of, kickstart funding to get the program off the ground so that someone can actually take the time and energy that's needed to go and have all the meetings and do all of the legwork that's necessary to make these partnerships and build the resources for this kind of a program. So, I mean, that's a balance that we have to have, I think, in our task force report, is that we have to say we need A, B, and C, ASAP, if we're going to have some kind of immediate impact, but then we have a long-term strategy that's going to rely on something bigger than just tapping into that money.
Right. I think ultimately, each proposal, for instance, wish Mr. Sardini was here, but Mr. Sardini's proposal, certainly for I just forgot.
The detox.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of the word, detox center. That proposal is critical to Champaign County. We know we have to have those services in Champaign County, and Champaign County should be prioritizing that because it's part of our strategic plan as a county to provide those kind of services. Now, we recommend that money comes from this pot. The county board can determine where they want to take that money from, but just that they make it a priority because detox is critical to the criminal justice system. Right, mental health services are critical to the criminal justice.
Actually, Sardini has found so much of the money already.
Right, so there may just be a small portion. But
if you start telling the county board, we want this, this, and this, and we can't do it, then you're not going to get to the long term. I think it's better.
I mean, I think the word can't is operative to the priorities of the county as to whether the county wants to fund them. The county can fund whatever their priorities are. Right? That's how we did the strategic plan.
But he's saying that he wants to say so much from the quarter cent fund, and he wants to tell us how to do it. And I think it's a mistake to tell us how to do it.
Sardini wants to do that?
No.
James.
Well, no,
Sardini is already digging up.
Well, he does want to do that, too.
He does want to do it from public safety sales tax. I think
his proposal, which I think is he has a specific request for partial support for that detox center to match, to help along with the other support he has, and support for the drug court program, which he is afraid is going to disappear because the federal money is going to stop. So he's making some pretty a concrete request for funds, and this asks for a concrete request.
But he's got outside funds to kick start it. He's not saying, okay, you give me the money, and then I'll find other money. He's saying, I found other money, now you give me some money. And I think that it's going to get a more positive response from the board when they see the bill is not all on them.
Well, we've done it. We've done it since I was on the board. We funded PLL. We funded it directly from the county,
mm-hmm.
from our existing funds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that there's no precedent for what's being asked. And I'm not suggesting
I'm
that
not
the board
can't
saying
do
whatever
they
want.
I think a more positive response is if there's a co-funder.
Of course. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue with, but it seems like... like a little, to the extent that we can create a reasonable analysis of the cost savings that are associated with this, if it's because of the reduced recidivism, that's another helpful argument to say, okay, well, there's going to be upfront costs, but there's going to be a long-term savings. It's a very compelling argument that fiscally conservative people should step up to the plate and support.
And I don't think we need to argue this one way or the other. We simply need to present it to the county board, and as Ashley said, they need to determine what to do based on what's been presented.
But any argument on recidivism. It's lowering recidivism. Obviously, it's going to have a big impact.
Sure, that's in the proposal.
Can I just say, I'm just, maybe this is the wrong place. This isn't my proposal, but in the visioning thing that we did last time, at the end of that, I tried to come up with some kind of a table that would do kind of what we're doing here just through conversation, and that is, what is the goal of what we're trying to achieve? And I hear lots of terms like, oh, this will reduce recidivism, oh, this will be better, you know, reduce costs, but I don't think we have any numbers to show anybody. So to me, it seems like you want to put a measurable amount to that and say, okay, as you started to do, James, we have this many people coming back into the county. This many of them are recidivating because they can't get connected. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if we implement we don't have to say what it is even at this. If we implement a program to deal with that, we could reduce that number and save the county this much money or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then we come up with what are the choices of programs that might be effective or best practices, and you're proposing one and saying, here's what we'd like to say would be a good intervention. The same with I've heard with pretrial stuff. How many people does that affect? What is our length of pretrial for different kinds of crimes now? How can different kinds of interventions make that shorter? And how much money will that save us? And if that's a legitimate argument that we've done our numbers, then those are the kind of, that's what I was hoping for this committee to put to the county to say, here's what we've said we want to see. We want to see these things. We've said in our vision statement we want to see, you know, more speedy trials, better recidivism rates, et cetera. Then what are we proposing directly that would impact that? Because there could potentially be 15 different ways we could impact that. The county needs to decide what those should be, or if we want the money to come from the quarter cent tax, potentially the county, or if they decide some of that money through the mental health board or whatever. But we need to put the proposals on the table for a logical decision-making process and to say, here's a couple of ideas we'd like to give you. We think these would work. I mean, somebody could come up with an idea we haven't thought about, which is great. But you see what I'm saying? I'm not seeing us have a way the county could make a decision about it, because that's the first question I would ask if I were sitting on the county board. How many people is this going to impact? Is this a big problem, a little problem? How much money will it save us?
I'll just comment on that for a minute, just so that we'll all end up on the same page of thinking where we're going. I think everybody actually is agreeing. Yeah. But we have, prior, the previous group.
Maybe I missed something.
When we got up to this point, one of the things that we discussed more than once, and Lynn was particularly vociferous about it, was the data. Mm-hmm. Now, we concluded, and I think accurately, that we, this task force, can make, we could make guesses, we can make estimates, we can sort of make up numbers based on, not unreasonable assumptions. But we were hoping, and in fact have had the discussion with the consultant that was hired to look at do the evaluation. And I don't know whether he's going to come up with actual numbers or not, but I'm hoping that he does, because that's part of what the data that we're hoping to get from that activity, which is a much more formal study of that sort of thing. So, anyway, what I'm suggesting is that we can, and I think we should, make statements that would estimate how many people might be affected by, or how many people wouldn't recidivate. But we're going to be making guesses based on literature, for example, in so-and-so place, this is the kind of impact that had, or even just some, and logic. But if we want real numbers, we would have to get a lot closer into the actual numbers of people in the jail, know who they are in quite a bit more detail than is easily available to us. And it's something that we would find by doing it. So, in some sense, the answers are going to come from, this is a little bit troubling to me in terms of what's promised and what's real and what's possible. That is, I don't think we should make promises that we can't be sure of. So, in other words, I would rather have us approach this as a question of policy, and that, you know, there are some estimates about numbers of people, but really, adopting the kinds of policies that we're suggesting would lead to a number of different programs. The ones we're going to talk about concretely are merely examples of actually a very large number of possible approaches and specific programs that people could invent and have already been invented in other places that could be adopted. And the only way we're really going to know the numbers is if we do it and we evaluate what we're doing in an ongoing way and we keep improving it. And so somehow I think we have to be proposing some combination of this seems like good policy based on what we know, and we can estimate that we'll reduce the numbers of people who are recidivate or who are in the jail in the first place and probably shouldn't be, but we won't really know the precise numbers until we do these things.
I think there are, we did a snapshot at our last public meeting on Champaign County Jail with the actual numbers. Which this is, I can certainly send to all of you. Absolutely. This is just one day. Mm-hmm. Each proposal, and I'm sure James's proposal, will deal with Champaign County numbers. Of course, there will be an estimate. We can't say for sure what the impact will be of any program current or any program proposed. But we can, based on the numbers that we have in Champaign County, we followed this for several years. Just as an activist group, we follow the actual numbers in Champaign County, so we can include those in the proposals, which are simply examples because they don't have to take these programs. That's, they can take any other program.
The other variable, I'm sorry.
But I just don't want us to spend too much time on too many of those semantics. We know from our, not the previous meeting, but the one I was at previous, we did discuss the areas that we wanted to send the proposals to the county board. And the county board did ask, when you all did the halfway progress report, for the specifics. They did ask for the specific numbers. They asked for the budgets. They said, how much is this going to cost us and what the impact is going to be? They don't want any proposal that comes from this committee has to come complete. They're not going to do that work. So we have to provide the actual numbers, the impact that it could have on Champaign County numbers, what it could do if we did something different with the jail system. That kind of, they want a complete view, so to speak, on what this task force is proposing. And they do want numbers.
The comment I wanted to add, and that I am adding specifics on what I'm going to in turn distribute to Scott, revisions will be made, et cetera, et cetera. On pretrial services, but the one thing, and I think somewhat like a county board member in this sense, that I know the numbers are important, but I don't think we should fall in the trap of only looking at money, because another variable is public safety. And pretrial services programs enhance public safety because the pretrial release decision is based on evidence-based protocols, and secondly, there is that supervision component. Mm-hmm. So that is something else we need to make sure we're sensitive to, as opposed to, now the reality is there will be cost money savings with pretrial services, but it's not just that. Mm-hmm. It's and there's also long-term perspective. So do you measure it in a six-month period? So, but when we can tell the county that virtually every major organization of legislators, chief justices, American Bar Association, National Association of Counties are all say pretrial services is a basic part of a criminal justice system, and we aren't going to have one. So in other words, the data's been done nationally. We want the specific data. I'm still not confident. The consultant said would come, we'd get it. And now I'm sensing some backtracking, and we'll have to see on that one.
From the.
But now he's saying national norms, and we do have national norms, yeah. But we wanted the number on risk profiling so we could give the exact specifics.
Unless just to kind of wrap this up, perhaps. Maybe I can just say what I think, you know, needs to be done to this proposal in terms of, in terms of dealing with some of the suggestions and comments that people have made. Is that in order? Okay, first of all, I mean the point that Darlene is making about the numbers. I've made a start on that, but I haven't completed it. I need to try to get some figures from parole in terms of recidivism rates within Champaign County. If I can get figures on what's the average length of time that someone who is violated for parole in Champaign County spends in the county jail, and that these will give us more specific data. But even given what I have right here, I mean, I can take the 442, which is the number of people. I can multiply it by 51.7, which is the state recidivism rate. I can multiply that by 54 days, which is the average length of stay for people in the county jail, and that's going to give us a figure. And then we can, and then using that, we can then extrapolate from best practices in other counties what effective programs in this regard have been able to do in terms of impacting recidivism. And by putting those numbers together, I think we can put together a picture that is going to be able to say we can save the county money, and at the same time talk about the public safety implications of not having hundreds of people on parole wandering the streets aimlessly, not knowing what they're going to do with themselves, and we know where that's going to lead. So
my question is, so the mathematical form is pretty easy, and then we multiply that by 60, which is the cost of incarcerating someone per day in the county jail. The question is, if we go from 57% recidivism to what through these processes?
What's the success rate, or what?
And can we cite any other example that we can say is, or do we? How do we do that?
I can tell you for a fact that you don't know the answer to that until you do it. Because these are very locally determined. You can do exactly the same program on paper and do it really well,
yeah.
Or you could do it in form only and not very well.
Yeah.
Everybody has probation services.
So what do we do? Do we give a range then? What do we do?
So
how do we address this?
But you look
can
at
can I ask for process that the proposers of these several areas that we all have. Mike and I, we met once already on public safety sales tax. We're going to have to bring back to the committee what we would like to put into the task force recommendation when it comes to public safety sales tax and how it should be administered. James's proposal, the proposal that you all are doing for pretrial, all of these are going to have to come back. The details at this meeting, really, we don't have to determine all of that at this meeting. I'm one of those people for leaving process to the committee folks who's working that part out to get the best proposal on the table to be included in the final report to the county board. And if there's data that you need, Ms. Graham, if you need data that is not available, then the only option we have is to use state information, because the county has to feed its information to the state. The entire state does that. So that's the only thing we can do with regards to that. We don't have to figure out every small little detail of the proposal for the county board to weigh it as a serious proposal. That's what I'm recommending. I'm recommending that we take these proposals, discuss them briefly, give the committee the room to make the adjustments as we add a little comments to them. And then, as part of our process, as Darlene said in her proposal, that we would bring them back and say, here's what I'm recommending as the final draft to go inside of our recommendation for the county board. That's what I would like to do, as opposed to adding all of that in.
That's a good idea.
Into this process. If we could we kind of move to the next proposal that Julian made some adjustments to? And see if there's some few comments that we can give. He gave us this single sheet today as an adjustment to that.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say that it's just short on purpose, because I think a way to approach this is to make recommendations which do not include the level of detail that for non-existent programs is largely imaginary, because what you have to deal with are the realities of local capacity. So this little proposal is simply to say, I've identified a problem. Now, I didn't just make this problem up. I identified the problem by going to meetings of all four police forces, including the county, and listening to Lieutenant Jones respond to his feelings about and his information about the problem they have in our county jail –